right, anybody got any testimonies? We'll get this choir fired up.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I do.
Amen.
I want to thank you for praying.
Amen. Bless you, buddy.
How about lost her Monday night? I've never felt so helpless in my life. But I knew you all were praying. And when they told me that they found another infection late Monday night, I didn't think I was going to get a bring her home. But God had a plan. And when she woke up Wednesday morning, she looked at me and she said, "I want to take a shower." I knew she was ready to go home. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God let me keep her. Don't mess around with that stuff. We might have put it off a little bit, but she wanted to see Ethan wrestle. And but God was in control the whole time.
Amen.
Pastor Aaron knows about it. When you go septic, that's nothing to play around with. And Meredith had an infection that they had never seen before. And that's the one that almost got her Monday night. But they caught it. We caught it. And you just pray for her. And we need your prayers. The boys have worried a little bit. And there's some things happened at school that Dad's going to have to take control over. And I need you to pray about it, because our school system, folks, doesn't really care about your family anymore. And I won't go into no details about that right now, but you'll see something else. But this dad's not very happy. But I just want you to pray. My boys took a stand, and I'm proud of them. And I want to thank you all for praying for us, sending us flowers. God is good. God is good. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Sing around the throne eternal on that one. Bless you, Caroline. Amen.
Yeah.
Bless you, Donnie.
I know God answers prayer.
Yeah.
Amen. 10 weeks ago today, is when I had open heart. And this past week's been the best week I've had since I've had it.
Amen.
I really started feeling a lot better. And I just want to thank God. And thank you all for praying for me.
Amen.
All the cards and prayers that went up. And just little things that comes along. I was hoping Steph would be here today, but I think she's with her daughter. But every now and then, Steph would just shoot me an email and said she's thinking about me, praying for me, and want to know how I feel. And just little things like that, you never know what it does for you. And just out of the blue, I'd be sitting there, and that text would come through, and I'd be just sitting there, just me and the Lord.
Amen.
And, but I just want to thank him, Chris, where how he's brought me through.
Yeah.
I was in pretty bad shape when they took me up, but God, he come through again.
Yeah.
Amen.
I just like to thank him.
Amen. Bless you, Donnie.
You know, we were in Florida. He had a surgery. And the morning before he had his surgery, he called him just out of the blue. And Donnie, we had you on our hearts and our minds and our prayers that whole week we were down there. We lived for the day to get back, or for the time to kind of get back to where we could hear something, that he was doing okay or that everything went all right. That it took longer than what they expected because of the scar tissues and all the detail. God is good.
Yeah.
God is really good. And,
yes,
and until right. you find yeah. yourself in a situation like Donnie was in or like Chris was in,
yeah.
you'll never know how much God loves you
yeah.
until you experience something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he brings you through it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He is able when nobody else can. When mommy and daddy can't do anything about it, or brothers and sisters can't do anything about it, God can.
Yeah.
I love him this morning. I thank
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
For one day opening my eyes and making me come to the realization that I needed the Lord. That's a gift. That's a gift from God when you as a human being realize that you're nothing. And that you need the Lord every day of your life. I just want to praise him this morning. God is good. He is awesome. He will always be there. In that dark hour, okay, on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night, he will always be there when you need him. I love him this morning. I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful that Meredith came through that okay. I was worried about her.
Yeah.
I remember what Aaron went through. That's serious stuff. But you know what? When you get serious with the Lord, he will get serious with his answers. And I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful he's always there. In the very darkest hours of our life, he is always there. I just want to praise him this morning.
Amen.
Bless you,
you know, Chris, it's a...
Bless you,
Dave. Praise you, Lord. I was thinking a while ago, and sung that first song. It's a privilege to get to sing with this bunch.
Yes, it is.
I really feel that way.
thought about you. Thought you might lose Meredith. Back in 2008, I had the same feeling.
Amen. Amen.
When they told me how big Sharon's cancer was and the tumor was, and I didn't know. But ain't it good when the Lord takes care of it?
Yes.
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 Yes. It's good.
I'm thankful this morning. I feel good. Yeah. I thought the other night, sometimes I have a lot of things, different things on my mind that's not worth anything. But the other night, nobody knows this but me, but when I went to sleep, I prayed the whole. I just laid there for not out loud for. I don't know. I probably mentioned the. I may have forgot some of you, but a lot of your faces come to my mind, but especially yours and Meredith. But I went to sleep. I don't know if that helped you or not, but it's helped me. And anyway, I'm glad that I feel good this morning. Yeah, I really do. God has blessed me real good. I thought back in January when I had a birthday. I turned 76, and I for a few days there, I kind of got down about that. I thought, I kind of got depressed about that. But then I got, I'm just closer to heaven.
Yeah.
So, but that all left. I'm not feeling sorry for sure. I feel good. Don't get me wrong. I ain't ready to fold up yet. So I love every one of you.
Amen.
Bless you.
Bless you.
All right, it's my turn.
Bless you.
Before anybody else.
Bless you, Todd.
Our God is awesome.
Yes.
He is.
He is one, the only awesome God.
Yes.
Chris, I don't know. I really prayed for Meredith, and I'm not a prayer warrior. I hear stuff. Somebody tell me to pray for them, and if I don't do it right then, I'll forget it.
Yeah.
But I heard about Meredith, and I honestly just prayed. But I prayed that the Lord would touch the whole family, but along with my prayer, I said, God, I know that you're going to get the glory out of this.
Oh, yeah.
I know that family.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And, buddy, when you got up there, I could just feel good. I just feel it.
Yeah.
Her God is awesome.
Yeah, he is.
God is good. Praise the Lord.
Yes, he is.
Well, everybody just said my testimony. Until you've gotten to that point where you know that the world's telling you that there's really no chance. And the doctor's prognosis isn't very good at all. And though you've got people all around you, they can't do what it takes to bring you back to good health. And you know you're laying there, and there's nothing that you can do but pray. Until you get to that point when you realize that there's nothing anybody in this world can do, and then all of a sudden, you wake up in the recovery room and everything's going to be all right, and all you can think of is just to praise His holy name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until you get to that point, you really don't know what we're talking about up here. There's a lot of people in this congregation who's been there. I mean, it's happened to a lot of us, where we've laid on that operating table and there wasn't a whole lot of hope left. It's prayers.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I had a church that was down in the waiting room and in the lobby of the hospital. It was praying for me when I was undergoing a neck surgery that they said I wasn't supposed to come out of it all right. And they say it might have been something that I ate, but I could see the prayers winging their way up, and I knew that it was going to be okay, and it was.
Amen.
There's a time in my life when the fear of cancer came on me, and the fear was so great that I wasn't sure. All the stuff that I'd been through in my life, and all of a sudden this fear just leaped out at me. And Tony called me out of the blue. My daughter's Sunday school teacher, I didn't know him that well. And he called me and he talked to me and he prayed with me. Listen, I want you to know something. That took away a lot of my fear.
Amen. Amen.
To know that I had people in the church that were praying for me, built me up to where I could stand up and I could begin to pray also. This is real, folks. Chris, it's real.
Yeah.
It is real. There were times when I'd come into the church and I'd sit in the back there and I would be having a down time and things wouldn't go right and somebody would turn around and look at me and say, God loves you. JT picked me up so many times that I thought sometimes that he had scoops for hands that could just reach down and just pull me up. He could understand what was going on, but it was brothers and sisters who were in touch with God who could reach him on my behalf and help me. That's what family is all about, church family. That's what love is all about. That's what he is all about.
Sure.
Man, I love you, Chris. Bless your heart.
Bless you, Joe.
I never shall forget thee when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for it's everything to me. Long years ago, when out in sin, I had no peace, no joy within. Down on my knees, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for it's everything to me. Let's have church, people.
Thank the Lord.
Change it to what?
83.
Okay.
Let's sing this for Jim.
When you stand up this morning, I've been sitting here battling the whole time, and I'm not going to let the devil win. And the first thing I want to say is that if you're here this morning and you don't know my Jesus, and he is my Jesus, you're here this morning for a reason. It's not by accident. I just want to make that clear to whoever that is that God's put on my heart right now. Because it's somebody, and I know it is. But the other thing I was reminded of was, and I'm not the least bit embarrassed about it, and you pray because for a long time God's been wanting me to write my story and to give my testimony in front of churches, and I've not done it. But back in the year 92, well, actually back before that, I had a sister who was always in church, and she was always begging me and asking me to come, and I was always telling her, no, I was living in the world, and I'm not ashamed to say this, but there was one night on a Wednesday night, and they called it Ladies' Night, when you were of the world. And I headed out the front door of the house, and my sister pulled in the driveway about that time. And she said, I wish you'd come go to church with me tonight. And I said, no, don't start that stuff with me. And she she said, McKendra, you need the Lord in your life. Let me tell you what, I asked for it because I looked at her and I said, Karen, when the Lord's ready to deal with me, I'm sure I'll know it. Oh. Let me tell you, this is the story I've never told. I did know it because in the year 1992, he took me to my knees by way of depression. I had nowhere to look but up. And I'm telling you, doctors couldn't do a thing for me. That was March of 92. Well, I was having anxiety attacks, and I was having chest pain, and thinking I was having heart attacks, and going to the emergency room. Not a thing wrong, physically. And let me tell you, Mother's Day, May 10th, I cried out to a living God who saved my soul that day.
Amen.
And let me tell you, from that point forward, everything just started becoming smooth sailing.
Yeah.
I mean, people, I was to a point I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I lost weight. Yeah. It was miserable. I was miserable. But he knew what I needed.
Yeah.
And when I looked up and claimed that gift that day, my life was changed forevermore.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what. You know, 2 years ago I found out about cancer. I'm going to be honest with you. The fear of getting that cancer diagnosis was nothing compared to the fear of that depression that I was going through. That nobody could figure out, and nobody could do anything to change it for me. When you don't want to leave your home and you don't want to go to work and you can't eat, it's not that you don't want to eat, you cannot eat. God knew exactly what he was doing for me. He took me to that state and that place, and once again, my life has been changed forevermore as a result of that. I'm ashamed that it took that. But I shared with our Sunday school class this morning that, you know what? I cannot remember everything that he has already forgotten about my past.
Yeah,
right. And I praise his name for it. I praise his name for it every day. I'm not perfect. I disappoint him every day. I know I do. But you know what? He still loves me. Right. He still carries me. He still sees me through every single day of my life.
Yeah.
It's a struggle some days, and as long as we're living in this world, it's going to be a struggle. But you know what? We've got to keep persevering. We have to keep going forward. We have to keep claiming the name of Jesus and just holding on tight for all we're worth, because without him, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Amen. Amen.
Those of you who were here Wednesday night probably remember me asking for prayer for my daughter-in-law.
Amen.
Her father, just the day before that, they found out he had cancer, really bad. I mean, in 3 days' time, he was taking care of his wife, who has the NASH. It's pretty advanced. And he got a little pain in his hip. And went by the hospital, and before that evening was out, they had him in a wheelchair, he couldn't get around. And in 2 days, he was in hospice care, and by Friday morning at 12:05 in the morning, he passed away. Mike was my friend. I knew him all my life. And all my life, I knew that Mike was a Christian. He was not a good public speaker. But when there was work to be done at the church, that he was like Charlie Fisher. He was the first one there. Everybody knew Mike Chapman was a Christian. His light shone his whole life. He was always in church. He taught his kids right. And now they're at peace with this. His wife and not her taking it harder than she did, but she was with him when he passed away that night. They talked. Everything is all right. And thanks to Jesus Christ,
yeah,
there's comfort in the death of my friend and my daughter's dad. And I don't know how anybody, well, I do, because he has a son that, that I don't think knows Christ. And it really is hard on him because he don't understand. He has no promise of seeing him again without the love of Christ. And I'm like, Kendra, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you don't know his love, stop and think about the people that pass away that you would like to spend eternity with. And I know I get to see Mike again.
Yes.
And the Lord did not let him suffer for any length of time. And I firmly believe it's because of the way he lived his life. When it was his time, God called him home. And he wasn't a burden on anybody. He just a wonderful guy. But y'all remember his family.
Page 83.
Jimmy Kasdorf, his song's for you and Leo.
Amen. about Easter time, because he said, I am the resurrection, and he's my resurrection. But he might not be somebody's resurrection here because they haven't made that choice yet. Get everything right. Get it right right now. You can enjoy. We're going to have a baptism here in a couple weeks. We'd love to get you baptized. That'd be the greatest thing ever. And I'll just look at some people. Sean, glad to see you. Aren't you glad for that resurrection?
Amen.
It's a good place to be this morning. Yeah. Somebody needs to get saved. Yeah. Don't wait till the preaching's over. Just go up and do it. And enjoy the salvation. Enjoy the life that comes from God.
Yes.
Enjoy that gift. Enjoy it, because like Kendra was saying, it changes your life. I'm glad to be here. I'm overwhelmed this morning. Y'all pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right.
He'll refill you.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's your turn to sing as the choir goes down. Jennifer's going to sing one for us. 146. Let's all stand. 146. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free.
Say it a bunch of words before. Yes. Said all that to say this. Be good.
Yeah.
Amen. The teacher, the people, a whole lot better people than it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will come back to
you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm thankful to be here today, and I love this song. I mean, we're all so abundantly blessed, and this is drinking from my saucer, and I feel like I drink from my saucer more than I should, you know. God's too good to me, and I appreciate him, and I'm so thankful for him. And this morning, my kids, all on their own, they're at the age now that they realize when it's your birthday and different things, and this morning they were singing to me, and you know, I didn't need any gifts, but them just doing that and just loving on me, it just, I felt at the top of the world, and I appreciate them, and God's been so good to me, and I'm thankful for that. And where Randy was talking about people at work, I've had a rough week at work this week. Sometimes you can be too friendly, too good to people, I think, and they take advantage of you. But I have a peace about it now, and I think that God's going to take care of it. So I'm thankful for that, that I have him to go to. So I pray that you get a blessing out of this song. A fortune, it's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go a long life's journey, Lord, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches. Sometimes the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all his blessings on me, and the mercy bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Oh, I remember times, and you've had times, when our faith has gotten a little thin. But you know what? All at once, those dark clouds broke, and that sun, she started shining again. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I have hoed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other. I'm already blessed enough.
Lord, to help another bear his load. And I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. My cup has overflowed.
Morning. Luke chapter 10, if you want to turn in your Bibles with me. Luke chapter 10. How many are glad you're here this morning? Amen. Amen. We can feel His presence. We can see the results of prayer. It's a wonderful place to be. They sang a song, I'll never forget the day, or I can remember the day. And maybe that's the way it is, I can remember the day. Last Monday, I celebrated a birthday. Didn't know a thing about it. Couldn't tell you what happened that day or anything. Every now and then, my dad will tell me what happened. But tomorrow, I celebrate a birthday. I've never forgotten it.
That's right. Amen. Bless
you. The day the Lord saved me.
Yeah.
And it was on a Monday night, pouring down the rain. God saved me. And I thought of what Jimmy said earlier. He said, now if you feel a need to come, you come on. Don't wait on the preacher. That night I was sat on the front row of Canal 2 Mile Tabernacle Church, and I thought the preacher was never going to get done.
Yeah.
You know how them long-winded preachers are.
Yeah.
But as soon as he gave the invitation, I hit the altar. And I'm saying that to say this to you this morning. Don't wait till I'm finished. That's one period of misery you don't have to go through, because we're going to let you come right now if you want to. But I thought in this message, I had a few thoughts, and as I've said before, I'll not keep you long, Lord willing. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, where are you sitting? Where are you sitting right now? You say, well, Aaron, I'm right here in church. I'm sitting on a pew. That's not what I'm asking you. I want to know where you're sitting in your life, spiritually and physically. You know, I know we all go through things, and we've talked a lot about that this morning, things that we've been through that God has brought us through. I don't know where you're sitting right now. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I know someone who does. And he wants to change your sitting position. And I want to read one verse. There was a luncheon put on here in this scripture in verse 39 of the 10th chapter of Luke. Verse 39. Two sisters and a brother lived together. The brother, it doesn't mention him here, but later on we know that brother, and that brother actually died. And Christ brought him back to life. But in this situation, they were going to have lunch for Christ. Now this morning, Julie and some of the ladies and gentlemen, they prepared us a little breakfast this morning. We had donuts, coffee, milk, and juice, and some of you didn't make it. Well, that wasn't Julie's fault.
No.
I made it, and I shouldn't have been there. I'm not supposed to eat donuts. But Jimmy Kay and I figured it out. We figured out if I would eat one that had a hole in it, and then I could eat another one that didn't have a hole in it, and they would kind of balance each other out. So when I got my sugar all out of whack, I thought I might as well go ahead and take on another one. So if I start shaking up here this morning, you know it's Julie's fault. No, we appreciate it. We appreciate all of you that came. And it's just a time of fellowship. A lot of times we get together like this, we don't get a chance to sit down and just talk. And that's what it was set up for. And hopefully in the near future we'll have another dinner after church where we can sit down and just talk. And but here was a time, there was a dinner prepared.
Yeah.
A reception had been prepared for a special person. And that special person was Jesus Christ. And you all are very familiar with this story, and I won't go into a lot of detail, but there were two sisters who were there, Martha and Mary. And Martha was sitting in the seat of the cupboard. Anybody know what the seat of the cupboard is? She was worrying about the meal. She was stressed out. And she was more stressed out because of one reason. Anybody know what that was? Her sister wasn't helping her. I don't know how many in here have a sister that's a lady. Have you ever been mad at them? Because they didn't do their part? Because they didn't help you like you thought they should? Well, here it is. Martha is upset. But in verse 39, I want to show you where Mary was sitting. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So here was Mary. She was seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. I thought, you know, the greatest thing anybody can do for somebody is to listen. You know, I went by to see Meredith, and I talked to Chris, but, you know, I could share with them some of the things that happened to me, but I felt like I needed to listen. And I've been to many of you. I've been to funerals. And somebody will say, what do you say when you go to a funeral to somebody? Sometimes you don't have to say a thing. Just be there. And listen. You know, that's the way Christ is. He's there and he wants to listen to what you've got to say. And he wants to talk to you too. But here he is. One sister is seated at the feet of Jesus. Do you think she's in a pretty good position? You think her seat's pretty comfortable? You think it's peaceful at the feet of Jesus? I thought, you know, there couldn't be a better place to sit than at the feet of Jesus. And here's her other sister. She's all up in the air, and it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. So here it is. They're in a little family squabble. Anybody in here ever have a family squabble? I'm going to ask you this, but you don't have to answer. How many had a family squabble before you got here this morning? Don't raise your hand. I know some of you did. But the main thing is, you know, we need to remember why we're coming here in the first place. We're coming here to worship the Lord. We're coming here, and when we come here, I feel like this morning's service, we were sitting at his feet because he was pouring out his blessings. He promised us that in Malachi. He said, if you'll do that, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out my blessings upon you. I'm thankful for a God who knows our needs and if we'll listen. But you know, a lot of us are in the Martha condition. We're worried about everything but what we should be. We're worried about what we're going to fix when we go home. We're worried about where we're going to go when we get out of here. We're worried about everything else that's going on in our lives. But if you're seated at the feet of Jesus, he's going to take care of things. And he's in control. So she is seated in the seat of cumbered. The seat of cumbered. She is distracted from who's in the house. She's distracted. And he went on to said, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So when we're careful about something, we're anxious. We're worried about it, that what's going to take on or what's going to take place. But look at what Jesus said. And I'll never forget a gentleman who spoke this message one day. And he used this. And his brother Shirley Hammack. And I remember this every time I look at the scripture. And a lot of times when I'm not looking at it. Because of what he said. And says, and one thing is needful. And Mary have chosen that good part. God has a good part for us to choose this morning. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're anxious and you're worried about what's going to take place this week, let him sit with you in the good part. Let him be there for you. Martha was stressed and Mary was having a good time. I used to teach Sunday school with a lady, and she was telling me one time that she had a sister, and something happened about prom time. They were both gone, but the older sister got in trouble because she said something to her dad, back-talked him, I guess. And so he just turned to her and said, you're not going to the dance. Of course, that just broke her heart. Now, this other lady that taught Sunday school with me, she told me this is what she did. She was giving it that there, you know, like, hey, Dad's got you now. And little did she know, he turned around and said, and you're not going either. So, you might not have seemed fair, but you see how sisters, sometimes they'll get after each other, but I want to go one other place to a gentleman in the book of Mark, the fifth chapter. The book of Mark, the fifth chapter. This gentleman was seated in a couple different places in this scripture. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But Jesus had crossed over to the Gadarene portion of the Galilee there, and it says the Gadareans, the country of the Gadareans. And it said in the first verse, it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And this was Christ and his disciples. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. How many in here, when you get upset, you go to the graveyard and just sit down? Not a place you really hang out, is it? It's a place we go often to visit our loved ones. And there's not a thing wrong with that. But here was a man who was sitting in the tomb. Not only was he sitting in the tombs, but he was very upset with what was going on in his life. Scripture says that they chained him. They put fetters and chains on him to try to keep him from hurting himself and hurting others. Well, then it said he would break those chains. And then he would get rocks and start cutting himself. Just out of anxiety, cutting himself. You know, that still goes on today. It happens just about every day in our school systems. There are young people who are so distressed and so tore up inside. That's a way that they relieve some of that anxiety. I don't recommend it, but I'm saying they need help. You say, well, we'll send them to a psychiatrist. No, they don't need a psychiatrist. They often send them to the counselor, which is my wife. But she shares with them about what can really help them in their life. But I thought, you know, here was a man in the tombs. He was so distressed. I want you to think about his family. His family couldn't even see. He couldn't even come home. He was so wild. He was sitting in the tombs of despair and depression and whatever else you could think of would add into it. And he was cutting himself. And it said he was often there crying. He was crying. Crying in despair. But then it went on to say this. Jesus came by. And it said when Jesus got off of the boat, he ran to him. If you're here this morning and you're sitting in a place in your life that you feel like, I'm not going to make it till tomorrow. Do what Legion did. Run to Jesus. Don't wait another day. Run to him right now. And he can relieve that pain that you have in your life. And he can take care of it. And I thought, you know, it said they called him Legions because he had 2,000 demons in him. 2,000 demons. Now, where are you sitting this morning? Are you in Legion, sitting with Legion in the graveyard, just having a pity party, cutting yourself and figuring out there's no tomorrow that's going to come? Or, just a minute, I'm going to tell you where you can be seated. He was sitting here and he was miserable. And as soon as he saw Christ, he took off. Now, where are you sitting this morning? You say, Aaron, I'm just sitting right here and I'm doing okay. A lot of people say that, you know it. But they're not doing okay. But if you need Jesus to help you through something, he's here to help you. And I want to read this verse 15. And I want you to see what a difference Jesus can make in your life. And verse 15 says this. And they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed of the devil. And had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Sitting with Jesus. When he was in the cemetery, you know what he was wearing? Nothing. He was naked. But when he was sitting with Christ, says he was clothed and in his right mind. That's what Christ can do for your life. He can clothe you in his righteousness, and he can change your mind about what's going on in your mind. You know, our mind's a terrible thing to deal with. And you know who deals with our minds so many times? The devil does. Just like he was doing Legion here. He'll wear you out. And he knows if you come to Christ. And in this scripture, when they came down to Christ, they says, well, he says, what are you going to do with us? And then they requested to be transferred into some swine so that they could do whatever. And you know what the swine did. They drowned themselves. They couldn't stand the devil either. But I thought of that this morning, and I'm finished. Where are you sitting? Are you sitting in the seat of Mary at the feet of Jesus? Or are you sitting in that cumbered state where everything's a worry to you? You're going 100 miles an hour. We talked about it a little bit in our class this morning. And my wife mentioned this. She said, I feel like I want to help people, but I'm going at such a fast pace. I fail so many times of doing just the basic things because we're going at it 100 miles an hour. We're cumbered about by too many things. Church work can cumber you too. You need to be careful that you do what you can do, but still when it comes service time, you need to be here to worship and praise the Lord. And I thought too, you know, Martha was cumbered about with that. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Legion was cumbered about with those demons in him, and he cut himself and he was tormented. It says day and night he was tormented. He ran about in a tombs, naked. But when he came and sat at the feet of Jesus, when he was there when they found him, he was clothed and in his right mind. I feel like that anybody who chooses Jesus is clothed and in your right mind. I feel like if you decide not to choose Jesus, you're just like Legion was. You're just in the cemetery running around, waiting to die. And you're not ready to die. It's important for us to be ready. And this morning, whatever you're sitting on, or wherever you're sitting this morning, you need to bring it to Jesus. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord and leave it there. Let him change your life. Let him make life worth living. I can imagine when Legion went home, his children, his wife, they were hugging him because they knew that he had been with Jesus. Things had changed in his life. If you're here this morning and you don't have Christ, you're here this morning and you have Christ, but you're worried about everything that you can think of, you need to come to him. As we stand and as we sing, I invite you to come right now.
Page 198. 198. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out.
Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
At some point when you feel you can't go on, take it to the Lord and leave it there. That's all we can do. We're truly thankful for all of you that have come today. We hope you receive something from your lesson, something from the singing, something from the word that will help you through the day. So, anyone else have anything before we leave?